Get Pucked.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get Pucked Podcast. Vito, Dave, Matt here with you. Been, I think, about a week or so. There's been a lot of hockey, not so much Habs-related hockey, but there's been a lot of hockey, a lot of good hockey, playoff hockey. And the picks, our picks, some of us look a little bit silly. Some of us look a little bit sharp. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk a little bit more. But just real quick, again, we're sponsored by our friends at Cafe Victoria's, 8600 L'Angelier in St-Léonard, Quebec. Mm-hmm. Please go check out their website at cafevictorias.com.
See, it's right on the screen, man.
I know. I'm going to get it right eventually. Take a look. Check it out. Like we said, if you didn't catch us, we did a live episode there one or two episodes ago. You can check it out. Fantastic people, fantastic food. Very, very good stuff. Very, very fine Italian, delightful foods. Take a look. Check it out. With that aside, gents. So, biggest shock. Biggest shock of last round. Quick.
Edmonton. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I did predict Calgary to win the cup, so I that didn't work.
I am shocked they won in five. I'm just shocked. I'm so shocked they're still alive. Doesn't make any sense.
It's Edmonton crazy. Made them play their game. Calgary was not able to play their own game against them.
And Jacob Markstrom played probably the worst I've ever seen in their play of his caliber.
You guys are missing it, baby. What did I say? One man's widow was going to push it forward.
One series right. You got one series
right.
All things
aside, yes, that was super shocking, but I definitely got to put, I got to give the tip of the hat, if not most shocking, definitely second most shocking, New York Rangers, who I wanted to win, but I did bet against them. I thought Carolina would take that one. It went all the way to seven.
That's pretty well. Wrong, right? I mean, it's a bit shocking, but at the same time, we spoke about it the last episode where we were saying that the only question mark there for Carolina is going to be goaltending, right? It's Antti Raanta. We don't know if Frederik Andersen is going to come back and all that. So, I mean, he never came back and was Antti Raanta playing. And I mean,
The goaltending for Carolina definitely hurt them. There's no doubt. But I definitely think their stars didn't step up to the way that they needed to. And of course they went up against Igor, who just was lights out a lot of the time, if not all the time. He's tuned in. And frankly, I wouldn't want to bet against him. And that leads us actually very nicely into next round. Yes, we're a little bit behind. Yes, last night Colorado played a game and they are up 1-0 over Edmonton. That being said, everybody listening will have to take it on good faith that we all had our picks put in ahead of time. We just didn't have the opportunity to record yet, so we're not going to change anything. So let's dive into it. Who wants to start us off? Who's going to give his pick?
It's gonna be you.
It's gonna be me. It's gonna be me.
Standings, all right. So
yeah, look who's on top. Okay, all right. So me first, and it's the New York series.
You really choked after that first round.
Oh, that second round was
brutal. All right. So we're starting with the New York series. I think that one's a pretty much a given. It's just a matter of games. So put me down for. Six, I think, and give me New York.
All right,
you're going New York.
Seven.
You're going New York in seven.
Yeah.
I love how you said that's pretty much a given. You know, the confidence. I just love it. It's like
I think most people would probably be like, "What the hell is he? Is he smoking?" I mean, you can't go and bet against the juggernaut that is Tampa. They knock off the President Trophy winner of the year. They made it look easy. I agree. They got Vasilevskiy. They got Hedman. They got Kucherov. They've got Stamkos. Maybe Point is going to be back. They got all these heavy hitters. There's something about this New York team. I wanted to bet for them at the second round. I thought the better team on paper was going to shut them down. They came back. They brought it to seven and they won. I get the feeling they're going to do some magic. I think they're going to actually surprise a lot of people. I think you got a really, really interesting group in New York right now. They're too young to understand the pressures. They're just flying. And call me crazy. Call me a long shot taker. I'm going New York in seven.
Love it. Vito, what you got?
Matt, one, you're fucking nuts. It's gonna be Tampa in five. It's gonna be it's gonna be very reminiscent to what happened to Montreal last year. You know, the Rangers right now are basically okay, albeit a more talented team than Montreal was last year in terms of, you know, Montreal doesn't have a Panarin and Zibanejad and all that, but at the same time, they are being carried by their goalie, kind of like Montreal was to a certain degree. And I just think that that's what's going to happen. You're going to see the same thing happen to the New York Rangers as it happened to Montreal when they faced Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay literally has, when you look at their roster versus the Rangers, they're better in every aspect of the game. And their centers are better. Their wingers are better. Their goaltender is Vasilevsky. He is the best in the world now. I have to admit it. You know, I can't give that to Price anymore. That's over. It's done with. Yeah. It's Vasilevsky. It's Shesterkin. What he's done this entire season during the playoffs has been fantastic. You could just see this. This is the goalie of the future for sure. But it's Tampa. They're going to get to the finals and they're going to lose. And they will have pushed it as far as they can and went this close to a three-peat. They're going to be going this close to a three-peat, but it's just not going to happen. But they're going to be the Rangers in five.
When you cross the street, do you look both ways like 14 times before crossing? Do you wear two sets of suspenders with your belt? You're so safe. You're so safe, Tampa.
I'm safe.
So safe.
I'm right. Safe.
Settle down, guys. Settle down.
In what way or in what world
tell do you him, think Dave,
the New York Rangers
tell
are
him.
Better than Tampa Bay right now?
Dave's coming with
the
New York.
I was the only one to pick the Rangers in
that's right.
round two, I must say. I like what they do. I like what Igor is doing.
Dave.
I told we spoke about this off this podcast. They have a 50 goal scorer. They have 100 point players in Panarin, and they also have pretty much 4 point a game players.
Am I going to be the only one? Okay.
That being said, I like Tampa in this one, and I'm going to go Tampa in six. I think
not
it's going to be
close. Seven, huh?
Whoa, that's not the run I wanted to
show. Whoa, spoilers.
Spoiler alert. So I'm going to go with Tampa here. And
all right.
The reason for it is I think they're better matched. I think that Vito's right about this one. I think Andrei Vasilevsky is on a roll. I think, they don't have Braden Point, but I think, look, the Rangers are a bit early, right, still. They have some good depth there. They have some good defensemen, but they're still a little bit early, and I don't think it's their time to peak just yet. I think that Tampa keeps rolling forward. So I'm going to go, as I said, Tampa in six.
I find it interesting with Vito's comparison to the Habs of last year, and he's comparing it to the Habs playing against Tampa in the Stanley Cup, and he picks Tampa in five to do the same thing. I find that very interesting because I look at this matchup and I see it as the Habs against Toronto in round one last year. And I think that they're designed similarly, powerhouse up front with the goal scoring, albeit a much better goalie, no doubt. But New York's got the point getters as well. And they got the price of playoff last year in Shesterkin. And I think that this is one of those series where they're going to maybe lose the first two, get one, lose one, be on the brink, and just keep fighting back until that game seven and then win it in game seven. I just kind of see that happening. So I'm very, very curious to see.
The Rangers are cockroaches, right? They're impossible to kill. In the season, they led the league in comebacks. I said it last round. And again, you saw it again. They were down 3-2, came back again against Carolina. So I could see them winning. I see a world where both of these teams win. I don't think it's totally out of crazy, but if you're asking me today for a prediction, I just think they're not there yet. I think they're a bit away. I think they'll give a good battle though to Tampa. That's what I think for sure.
I don't even think it's going to be that good of a battle.
Dang.
I just think
you
I
hate
just,
on the Rangers for some reason.
You hate them.
The Rangers.
You're comparing them to the Habs. The Habs were not a
guys,
good
guys. I'll be very honest. I'm not a fan of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but I'm going to give credit where credit is due. They check all the boxes. They're a much better team than the Rangers. Will the Rangers squeeze out a win? Yeah, that's why I predicted in five.
I'm confused. But you picked the Panthers to beat Tampa. Where was the respect then?
Oh, I thought the Panthers were going to go further than that. They got crushed.
Come on.
They got crushed.
They did.
Okay. All right. Moving forward.
Only person picked the Lightning last round also. I nailed the
East. Listen.
Even if you predicted Tampa, did you honestly think that the Panthers would have been beaten to that extent? That would have lost. No,
no, no. They shit the bed. They definitely were terrible and didn't play up to their potential. So that's on them. One team, however, that is playing up to their potential, and another team that I think is playing beyond their current potential, and that's why I give it up to the Colorado Avalanche in the next series, and they're going to take it in six. Again, I don't like to bet against McDavid. I think he is a man possessed. Everybody knows about the stats that he's doing right now. He's got something like 23 points in 9 games or whatever the hell it is, or 10 games. It's like insane. Dreisaitl also is right up there setting records. And again, I took them in six before last night, but using last night as an example, just look at Mike Smith. Look at the goaltending in both matchups. I mean, I have no love either for Colorado's goaltending, but I mean, good God. I mean, it's like he couldn't stop a beach ball. You know what I mean? Like, it was terrible. So I can't see. What's I can't accent? See how Edmonton. That was from Goon. You never seen that movie?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
exactly. So that's exactly what that accent was. Yeah, I got to give it to Colorado guys. They're my Stanley Cup favorites, so I'm riding them all the way.
I had also predicted Colorado in six.
Exciting.
Yeah, I predicted Colorado in six. And you know what? I would have even gone Colorado in five. The only reason why I'm giving Edmonton that extra game is because McDavid has proven that now all of a sudden he brought his game to a whole other level that we didn't even know was possible. But there seems to be another level to this man's game. And he took over against Calgary and just owned that shit. And now I'm not saying he's going to own Colorado, because on the other side, they do have McKinnon, who could kind of match up with McDavid. And you're looking at this and you're like, okay, these could be high scoring games. And at the end of the day, I'm going to have to give an additional game to Edmonton. But I was originally going to go with Colorado in five, but I'll give the extra game to McDavid.
Don't you dare, Dave.
I don't want to piss off all the Edmonton Oilers.
Dave, okay.
If I was a smart man, I'd pick Edmonton just so that I could catch up with you. But we made these picks. I didn't know your picks beforehand, and I already made these picks. And I've been on air on the morning show at TSN 690 all week. I've made it perfectly clear. I don't know if you guys have been listening, but my picks were perfectly clear. And that is, I think it's going to be Colorado.
Sweet. In four.
Sweet. I think Edmonton is way out of their depth. And look, yesterday, the game went about as good as you could possibly wish for Edmonton. They scored six goals, man. Six goals. Lost. And they still lost.
Yeah, that was an insane game.
They knocked out Colorado's Darcy Kemper. They knocked him out of the game. He might not even come back. Who knows? There's no word on it yet. He has a mysterious upper body injury. Who knows whether he'll be back. Yep. And they don't even know who's going to start in Edmonton because they're both so bad. So
you mean Smith?
What?
You mean Smith?
Yeah, but Smith. What do you mean Smith?
Because you said Darcy Kemper.
Yeah, Darcy Kemper left the game yesterday.
Yeah, and Mike Smith got there was a collision with him as well.
Yeah, but Mike Smith is all right to play.
Okay.
Okay, and they brought in Koskinen. Koskinen let in one goal in like 21 shots, which was incredible to me because he's just worse than Mike Smith in my eyes.
he's a bad goalie, Koskinen, man. I don't know what they were thinking when they signed that guy for that long and for that much money.
It's unbelievable to me. So now we come down to it, and I just think that, like, look, Edmonton, if Edmonton's not going to score six goals again, I could tell you that. We had Darren Dreger on this morning. He said game two is going to be a lot different than game one. So
it's going to be tighter.
Yeah, Edmonton's not going to score six goals again, but Colorado probably will score that high. I don't see Edmonton winning a game here, and I don't trust Mike Smith. And at the end of the day, I think that Cale Makar and Devontae's are gonna work hard, and they're gonna be able to shut down McDavid just a little bit more than Calgary was, just a little bit more than anybody else was.
Is Pavel Francouz or Francouz hurt?
No, he's not hurt.
In all likelihood, if Kemper can't go, he's going to be the one that's going in nets.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, obviously, they want Kemper way more.
I'd still probably go with Pavel than a 41 or 42 year old Mike Smith or Koskinen.
Of course.
I mean, Koskinen to me is today's David Abisher. Why? Why are you in the NHL?
Well, Mike Smith has gotten to the point of his career where he's either lights out Mike Smith and like gets shutouts, or he's 42-year-old Mike Smith lets in like 8 goals. There's or no that, in between
or
anymore.
That's in a goal from center ice looking at everybody.
Yeah, it's just it depends. It's a roll of the dice, really, at this point.
We're not going to see the good Mike Smith in this series, man. There's too many high-powered guys on the other end.
I agree. I agree. I didn't give Edmonton two games because of Mike Smith. I gave Edmonton two games because, honestly, you got McDavid and Draisaitl, and these guys are such a driving force in today's game. They can win games by themselves.
I'm convinced
they really can.
This series is going to end in five. I'm going with six because I'm mad, like you said, I'm playing it safe. I gotta make up for the last round, guys. I was in the lead. Look what the hell happened.
That's right.
So I mean,
I can pass either of you in this round. If everything goes my way, even if I nail both of these predictions, I cannot pass either of you. But that's why it's a slow burn all the way to first place once the cup final is.
Oh, you're convinced that the cup final is going to get you where you need to be. Oh, okay.
No. Listen, I'm at the top now. I'm buying furniture. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I'm setting up shop up here. That's it.
Best of where luck I should to you. Be. If Jordan Binnington hadn't been hurt, things might have been different. I might have been at the top
Jordan
of that.
Jordan Binnington.
Jordan Nutcase Binnington? I don't think so.
So those are our picks. You can flash one more time, Dave, for those that are fortunate enough to actually be watching and not just listening. You can see right there in front of you, Colorado across the board for us all. Vito and myself have him in six. Dave's got him sweeping in four. And then the safety first guys, Dave and Vito both have Tampa Bay. Dave in six, Vito in five, and I took the Blue Shirts in seven. And that's how it is. So just now switching a little bit, because there's been a little bit of development in the Habs-related news. First and foremost, as we all expected, Martin St-Louis has been confirmed as the 32nd coach in franchise history. Interim tag removed. He signed 3 years. I did not specifically see how much he's being paid each year. Not that this matters.
Not stated.
So he's on. Just feelings. I mean, personally speaking, I think 3 years is a good amount. I think any less would have been weird. I think any more would have been a little bit premature to give him that much rope. What do you guys think? Because there's been people out there that have been saying he should have a one-year contract, prove himself legit from the start. And other people have said, no, this is going to be a bad team for a couple of years. You got to give him a long contract to let him really put in his touch on the team. So what do you think?
So here's the deal. For me, like, who's going to accept a one-year deal? Like, no, he's not going to – like, it'd be – why would Fair. You do it for his family, for everything? Like, nobody accepts one-year deals as a coach. It's either two, three, four. Most of the time, it's three. And who's going to accept a two-year deal? If Marty St. Louis says, nah, I really want a three-year deal, and you're not budging at two, who are you going to go get? That's also probably going to want a three- or two-year deal. And you're going to sacrifice not saying – Barry Trotz not coming here, man. Sorry.
Even if you got the interview, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm declining that.
Yeah, well, he probably wouldn't come here, and they wouldn't hire him anyways. So let's move
John
on.
John Tortorella?
None. They have to speak French. That's it. See, two, we know that. They're not moving on. The coach, they could get away with the general manager not speaking French. I'm telling you, there's going to be a time where the general manager is not going to speak French. You can't do it with the coach. The coach faces the media every single day. It's going to be French for everyone.
What about an assistant coach? French.
Not good enough. You have to make it co-coaches. That's the only two things. And I'm talking about this. A co-coach where you have a guy like Marty St. Louis and you have another guy like and it'll be too complicated because you need the guy making the decisions to answer the questions. And that's why it has to be the coach. And the coach faces the media every single day. It's not like, you know, the GM who could come in, when things are bad. You know, you see them once every few months. Or when a big trade happens, that's okay if you could pass him off as just English, but the coach has to be French. And I'm just saying the reality. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's what it is, so forget it.
So for 3 years, you're basically saying there was no less that this was going to ultimately be.
The only
so what about
option,
the more?
The
Should
only,
it have been
yeah,
more?
No, not more. Absolutely not more. 3 years is a sweet spot. We don't know what the hell Marty St. Louis offers. I know you guys are high on him. I know a lot of people are high on him. I'm the only one probably beating this drum or at TSN 690, I'm not sure about Marty St. Louis. I don't know how he is. We saw the same crap happen with Ducharme. It appeared towards the end with St. Louis. The special teams, it was terrible at the end. Even at the end, they're still bad, the special teams. And,
right, but that's not him though, right? Isn't that more Burroughs?
Okay, but you're the head coach. You make the final.
I'm not saying no. Yeah.
And what did he say at the press conference? He's not looking at new assistants. So that's on him. If he looks at Burrows and says, I'm happy with that power play, it's on him. And
true.
You know, to his credit, he didn't know. They asked him that. They said, are you going to hire new assistants? He says, I'm keeping the staff I have, and I don't know if I'm allowed to hire a coach, basically, is what he said. They obviously haven't spoken about it. Ken Hughes and stuff, they were away. I get it. They're not in the same room yet. They need to get on the same page before that happens. But at the end of the day, I think 3 years is a perfect amount because that's what he's going to sign for. And it's not too long, and you might have to cut that short eventually. But I'm okay with the deal. I like it. I like that he gets a shot. I like I like that he gets an opportunity. I liked what he did with Cole Caulfield. I like what he did with Nick Suzuki. But there are other players who regressed under him as well that we kind of ignore because and the win record, the win-loss record is terrible.
Yep.
There's all things to be said about when it comes time to win. Individual performances are great, but when it comes time to win, can he do it? And that's what we're going to have to see.
Well, okay. So, I mean, when you look at Martin St. Louis, there was an immediate improvement the moment he got on. So, yeah, you're right. Some players didn't work out or they regressed when he became the head coach. But the players that we really wanted to focus on and we wanted to help on their development, they had an uptick in production. They started to play better. When it comes to the 3 years, I felt more comfortable around two. But it's like Dave said, if it needed to be 3 years so that you could get him signed on, go for it. At the same time, with the prospects that are up and coming and that are likely to join the Canadiens within these next year, 2-3 years around there, I kind of want somebody like Martin St. Louis who's going to help develop them, coach them, a guy who's a bit more experienced in the sense of how it is to be a player, to have gotten into the Stanley Cup Finals and won the Stanley Cup. Somebody with that kind of clout, right? Versus if we would have had somebody like Ducharme or some inexperienced coach at the NHL level, which, don't get me wrong, Martin St. Louis is also an inexperienced coach per se, but he's been a player. He's gone through it all. So I think certain players for their development are going to benefit from having somebody like Martin St. Louis as the coach. Where I think it could take maybe a bit of a hit is some of the veteran guys. They might not like where things are going with Montreal in the sense of like a full rebuild or a transformation, whatever term you want to use. But one thing's for sure, everybody has said nothing but good things about Martin St. Louis since he's been brought in. So I'm going to go with that. We're going to go with what the players are saying. I mean, heck, even Jeff Petrie, who wanted out, started praising Martin St. Louis, you know, has changed his tune a little bit by the end of the season. So again, I was more comfortable with 2 years versus going three. You're right, 1 year is not enough. We just did technically a half a year with Martin St. Louis. What's another 1 year to really instill his plan and his program and whatever? So let's go with the 3 years. Unfortunately, we keep seeing this. Ducharme got signed 3 years. Now it's Martin St. Louis 3 years. Hopefully this time around with Marty St. Louis, they keep him for the full term.
Who cares anyways? No salary cap. Like, you guys are talking, oh, what's the term? What's this?
Well,
what's
yeah, this? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter.
You
could pay him $10 million. It will have zero effect on the Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, I get that. But at the same time, you don't want it to seem as a revolving door of coaches. Wow. It doesn't look good. Then you just know every time a new coach comes in, it's a new system. It's a new thing that players have to get adapted to. Then we go through the adrenaline rush of 2-3 weeks of players performing a certain way. And then it goes to shit depending on what the system is. Then if they do bring in another coach, you've got to have those question marks on who's it going to be? Is it a defensive style? You know, what are the options out there? Because it's got to be a bilingual coach. I don't want to hear about any of that for at least 3 years.
The only thing that surprised me about his signing was the when they talked to him after the fact, again, with the assistant coaches. Not that I expected him to go a clean slate and bring everybody else in. I think Luke Richardson is a good guy to keep around. I liked what the defense was looking like under him. He'd be a guy to keep. Frankly, the other guys that are a little bit more of, I would say, unknowns as to what exactly their speciality is, like Trevor Leduc, whatever, I don't know what his last name is.
Litowski.
Like, apparently he's well, whatever. He's well liked, apparently, from the things that I've read about it. But like his specifics as to what he brings on the bench, I'm not 100% aware of. But we do know that the Burrows sort of thing was about the power play. And if there's one thing that needs to be absolutely addressed for next year is the power play.
100%.
You got guys, I'm not saying he is the guy, again, it's an easy name to point out, but you got Mark Recchi out there that has now been let go from New Jersey. Apparently he's a big power play guy. Maybe just a new voice, a different guy back in. He is an alum. like, it kind of makes a little bit of sense there too. I don't want to, and you know, it's not all about Burrow.
Bring Mark Recchi. Why don't we bring back Kirk Muller for a sixth time?
Well, I mean,
yeah, but Mark Recchi is a known, like, he's
yeah,
known,
I know. I'm
just a good hockey mind. He's,
yeah,
he's, you know.
And Kirk Muller, you know, it's just that would be the one place, and I get he doesn't want to come out and say, oh, I want to look for a power play guy, because that's directly pointing a finger at Burrows and whatever. I just hope that over the course of the summer, maybe, you know, they start to trickle a little bit of information out that, like, oh yeah, they're going to transition Burrows into something else, and then maybe bring on a guy if he's allowed, and the bench is going to be however many guys at that point, five or six. Maybe Burrows, you know, takes a step back and goes into Laval for something else. I don't know. But that would be the one thing that ultimately, I would have liked to have seen a little bit different. Otherwise, I think the signing, like you both said, is perfect. I think any less is a little bit ridiculous. Any more, you're a little bit too bullish on him. And frankly, he hasn't quite proven himself yet to merit a kind of contract like that. So let's see what he does. I'm happy that this little part is behind everybody so we can stop hearing about it. Not that it was super annoying, but like, when's he signing? Everybody knew he was going to. It was just a matter of when. And so now that that's done, we can move on and talk about more important things, like the actual team and the draft and free agency.
It's interesting, though, because Mark Recchi played with Marty Saint-Louis, right, in Tampa, right? A lot of people forget that Mark Recchi played on the Lightning in 2008.
Oh, there you go.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a good – Mark Recchi was my favorite player growing up as a kid, believe it or not.
Really?
He was. Short guy, skated oddly. You know, his stride was very weird. That's how I play hockey a little bit. And he was just good. He always produced, man. Always. And like, he was never a superstar. No one ever talked about him as if he was a superstar. But he's a Hall of Famer who, like, literally always produced one.
Dude, he got 1,533 points. I mean,
no
one talked
about it.
Honestly, I even forgot he played for Tampa.
Yeah, and cups with different teams. Hey, he won cups with, like, almost every team he played with. For he would go over there and be the veteran guy to win the cup. Very impressive and, like, very low key. I really like
it. It could be a very good fit. Time will tell and see. We know he's a free agent out there to be picked up by a team, so who knows? And I think that's a fantastic catch, Dave, that there is a little bit of history with Martin Saint-Louis as teammates. So,
who knows?
Oh, well, that's the other side of the coin, right? If they hate each other, then it, you know, it's never going to happen, but we don't know. So I'd be curious to see if maybe down the road, when they start talking to Martin Saint-Louis a bit more, if somebody floats that name and say, hey, what about Mark Recchi? You guys in touch? Do you know what's up? So it'd be fun to see. I want to ask one last little thing quick. So it's not that we have any much more information about the draft, and we know the combine's going on right now, and we hear about Hughes inviting players to dinners and stuff and then checking it out and everything. Realistically, the question is quite simple. Are you guys still both, after all this time and here and everything, high on Shane Wright and he's your number one? Or would you start to slant elsewhere, given all the information that you've been hearing and seeing?
Yes, and just because I've never seen him play, so I rely on other people. And unless it's a 45-minute hit job on YouTube, I haven't seen really any compelling evidence on why you shouldn't draft Shane Wright. You've been hearing his name for years. Just go with the known commodity for now. Unless, I mean, and I won't be upset whatsoever if they pick someone else, because they're the scouting staff. Like, it's not my job to tell the Canadians who to draft.
In your opinion, which you're making clear, you don't have the inside knowledge. You're going on other people.
I don't have any knowledge. I can't say I've watched a single Shane Wright game. I've seen clips of him, and I saw him at the World Juniors. That's about it. Not in his element. So I can't,
right.
I honestly cannot say. My specialty is not prospect. It's just detrimental, but I would go with Shane Wright. Yes, he's a center. Habs needs centers. He's been there forever. Shane Wright. Vito.
Yeah. I mean, why for the longest time they were saying he's going to be the first overall pick, that all of a sudden you got a couple of people out there that are saying, no, he's not the first overall pick. And, you know, their only reason to it is, like Dave said, it's a 45-minute video of, you know, some kind of a hit job there. But
even the dogs agree.
But I mean, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he doesn't he have exceptional status too?
Yeah, I believe so.
So I mean, how many other players are being drafted this year fell into exceptional status? So stick to what you know. A lot of people are saying, okay, on a downside, if he doesn't hit it, you know, his floor is like as the advantage at his ceiling could be a Tavares, Stamkos type. So I'm not disappointed with either one of those names. Is it possible that somebody in the top three, top four, top five ends up becoming better? Yeah, it happens almost in almost every draft. I mean, look where Cale Makar was drafted. He should have been probably drafted first overall when you look back at that draft. So Shane Wright is the name I'm sticking with. Now, would I be surprised if all of a sudden they come out and they go get Nemec or they go get Cooley or even Slafkovský? No, I wouldn't be surprised. My only thing about Slafkovský is if you look at the way he plays, it's yes, it's very enticing. But at the same time, his biggest success has been the WIHF tournament.
Good point. It's a good point.
It's a good point too. I'm on board. I mean, I've been a Shane Wright guy now since we've heard about it, since the Joss coming. So I'm right there, and time will tell. So with that, now you know, everybody, we're all Shane Wright fanboys here. So let's see what's going to happen the next couple of weeks. Can't wait for the draft. In the meantime, those are our picks one more time. You can take a look on the screen. Otherwise, again, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Like, subscribe. You know the drill by now. We really appreciate it. Final time, again, Cafe Victoria's. Check them out. Go visit. Go look in person. Welcoming staff. Wonderful food. If you're in the area in St. Leonard, otherwise, take a little trip because it's a beautiful place too. So with that being said, Vito, Dave, I'm Matt, and this was
Get Pucked.